was the general manager of the New York Jets when they acquired Brett Favre from the Green Bay Packers. ESPN NFL front office insider and apparently the star of dinner parties. He is Mike Tannenbaum, and he joins us on Wilde and Tausch. Jesse and Tausch today. Jason has the day off. Mike, Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike joins us every week on this show, and we have heard so much about your performance at his annual dinner party for the ESPN Radio Unsportsmanlike crew. What do you have to say about all this?
Well, I would just say that when you go out to dinner with the same people over and over again, you got to just ask thought-provoking, differentiated questions, and this way people just don't, hey, how are you? How was your day? Blah blah blah. So you try to get a little bit more interesting and take people a little bit out of their comfort zone.
Mike, has there been a time that you asked a question at one of those that really struck a nerve with somebody? Because it does create great conversation, but it also, you don't know which way you go, especially if it's somebody you don't know that well.
Yeah, no, that's what makes it so fun and interesting. This all started with behavioral-based interviewing at the Combine. For years and years and years, you'd ask players, hey, why'd you fail this drug test, or what happened? Why'd you get arrested? Whatever bad news they had. They always gave the same canned answer about I was young, it'll never happen again, which, by the way, could be true. We got into much more interesting questions like, give us an example of you being a good teammate, or what's something you've worked hard at in your playing career that you were unable to accomplish, things that show selflessness or some awareness of how they need to get better.
So, Mike, was there ever a time that you did one of those and you were really high on the player, but the way they answered or the way you kind of analyzed it, that you took them off your board?
100% before they left the room. A couple times with quarterbacks, we would show their interceptions, and basically we would ask them to take us through the play, what happened. And if the quarterback would blame others, that was a really bad play call, or the receiver ran the wrong route, invariably we would either take them off our board or knock them down. And the reason for it, guys, is if you're going to pay somebody millions and millions of dollars to be, as Coach Parcells would say, your battlefield commander, you want somebody that's always taking the blame and always giving the credit. So it was a big indice of a quarterback's ability to be selfless when they would describe bad plays to us.
All right, Mike, last one on this, because it's been 20-some-odd years since I took the Wonderlic and did the New York Giants test. Was ridiculous. It was 300 questions. I don't know if you guys would get all of that if you weren't with the Giants, how that all worked. But what is the correct answer if you're a dog or a cat guy? I never understood that.
Mark, I'm not sure, but maybe the Giants had some issues with how you played, so maybe it was on both sides.
I think you're probably right on all of those. That is a fair point. Mike, you have been a huge supporter of Jordan Love and his development. And when you joined us last year, and again, thank you for joining us this year, you kind of said that, this was, I guess, 2 years ago, hey, he should be getting paid at the top of the market. Well, the Packers paid him close to that. Obviously, the market is resetting every time we go through. Has he kind of lived up to your expectations as far as what you've seen since he signed that deal?
For the most part, look, it's not perfect. I get that. And certainly the contract's going to put a bullseye on him, understandably. But I just think he's ultra-talented. And I'm just, outside of maybe a Justin Herbert, if you think about how you'd want a quarterback to look and be built and have his ability and talent in 2026, I just don't know there's many people on the planet that have the skills that he does. And you could just tell the way he plays. It's really important to him. Look, is some of the decision-making ideal? No, but, most quarterbacks are going to make mistakes. But I'm just I think if I'm Green Bay, I'm really happy he's our quarterback.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, joining us on Wildy and Tausch, Jesse and Tausch today. All right, so a lot has been made, Mike, of the Jeremy Fowler survey comparing Jordan Love and that he's not in the top 10 rankings of NFL quarterbacks entering this 2026 season. But Caleb Williams did make the cut into the top 10. When you compare how the Bears are structured right now and the Packers, because obviously the rivalry reached a new level last year with those showdowns in December and January, and of course the one in the playoffs top of mind, how do you compare how the Bears are built right now to how the Packers are built right now, especially at the quarterback position?
Yeah, look, I think Caleb Williams has tons of ability, and we saw that last year with some of the incredible splash plays that unfortunately Green Bay doesn't want to remember, but I was concerned by his completion percentage. And look, I think it'll get better, and certainly he has the ability to, but you've got to be able to complete over 60% of your passes to be an elite quarterback. And I think year two in Ben Johnson's system will help. I think Colson Loveland, you know, is going to be a star at the tight end position. But I'm encouraged by Caleb Williams, but we got to see more.
So, Mike, this is something from a Packer fan standpoint, obviously as a player, the Bears rivalry was kind of, it was a one-sided affair for a long time, and I'm sure you've been on one side of that or the other in your long career as an executive. But how would you, if you're talking, you're sitting down talking to Matt LaFleur, and you're the GM, or you're running the program, how would you advise him to handle, because the Ben Johnson part of it, it does feel like there is an intensity deficit. That was the case, and then obviously you lose a playoff game, that changes. But with the handshake and with all the stuff that goes on there, the Bears very upfront saying, we hate the Packers, the owners, the GM, the coach. Do you, if you're leading the Packers, do you lean into that? Or do you just say, we're going to keep doing what we're doing, we have bigger fish to fry, even with that tough loss and this long offseason that Packer fans are dealing with in dealing with Bear fans?
Yeah, guys, for me, it's definitely more the latter. Like, We're a really good organization. We've been really competitive for a long time. You know, we're not perfect, but we make a lot more good decisions than bad decisions. And, yeah, we lost a tough one last year, but we know who we are, and it's not about handshakes or anything like that. It's about building a good team. And, guys, I'll tell you what, there's a really good expression that applies, which is in an off season, an NFL team is going to tell you what they think about themselves in terms of how the moves they made. And I agreed with what they did, by the way, for Micah Parsons. But when you make a move like that, they're also telling you, like, they feel like they were close. So I don't think it's about a handshake. I think this is about a team that's really well run, made a lot of really good decisions over a long period of time, and went out and got a generational superstar talent that, you know, unfortunately got hurt. But if you were starting an NFL team today, you said, who are the five best non-quarterbacks when healthy? I'm hard-pressed to think there's five players in the sport you would start a team with, you know, before you got to Micah Parsons.
Like to hear that. Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider. Mike, how close is Brian Gutekunst to being the best general manager in the NFL?
Oh, boy. He's rock solid. I think he does a really, really good job, and I think the only way you can have sustained success in the system is you got to stack, you know, good drafts one on top of the other. They don't have to be perfect, but you really need to get three, four, like, significant contributing players each and every draft. That allows you to have, you know, for the most part, like, cost certainty on a good part of your roster, which allows you to be opportunistic like a Micah Parsons. So the fact that they were in that position really tells you, you know, the job that Brian Gutekunst has done, because it allowed him to, quote unquote, go take a shot.
Mike, the last one for me. How do you evaluate you draft a kid? And I'm going to skip Marshawn Lloyd, who is a talented running back. He has not been able to stay healthy. He's only played one game, but he's explosive. He brings a difference if he can stay healthy. When do you as an executive look at it and say, I can't count on him anymore? Is it after year two, year three, when you see that talent, but you have to keep those roster spots? How would you approach a player that's going into his third year who has not been able to stay healthy but has immense talent you know can help your football team?
Yeah, you know, generally speaking, 3 years is a reasonable amount of time. you know, we talked a little bit about J.J. McCarthy today on ESPN, and, you know, J.J. McCarthy's 23, he's playing 10 games. You know, the only grade you give a Marshawn Lloyd or a J.J. McCarthy is a grade of incomplete. So you try to be patient. You try to help them in the offseason, get in great shape, be as proactive as you can, and then you make the best decision possible. You know, with the expanded practice squads now, you know, it's not ideal, but you could send somebody down to the practice squad. Obviously, you run the risk of losing that player, but he is talented, he is explosive, and you try, you know, the worst thing, you know, the worst thing is not for Marshawn Lloyd to fail. It would be for him to be successful someplace else.
No doubt. All right, Mike, I lied. Last one. What is the best question someone asked you that got the best dinner conversation that you are now using on yours when you go out to dinner?
Well, this is somewhat Green Bay specific, so I'm happy to share this.
Oh, good.
Yeah. What is the best compliment you've ever received? And so for me, growing up in the industry, my idol was Ron Wolf, somebody that I just looked up to immensely. And, you know, fortunately, my first year as a GM, we went to the playoffs. Never forget, I was driving home, and I got a call from Ron Wolf, who said, "You did a heck of a job. To make the playoffs in the first year as a GM is incredibly hard. Nobody knows how hard these jobs are except for the people that have done it. And you've earned the respect of a lot of people, you know, your peers, including me, and I just want you to know that." And that is by far the best compliment I've ever received.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Tausch, you got to start thinking of what's the best compliment you've ever received. I'm going to ask you that in the next segment.
When I hear one, I'll make sure to let you guys know.
Mike, I have two more real quick football questions for you. First, looking at the NFC North, Packers, Bears, Vikings, Lions, everybody finished over 500 last year. In a lot of cases, I think some of these teams got better going into this year. How do you rank those four teams going into 2026?
Yeah, not just because I'm on with you guys. I got to go with Green Bay. Just, you know, if for these conversations, you have to assume if everyone's healthy, everyone played their best game, I put Jordan Love and Micah Parsons ahead of everybody else. I think Detroit's another team that's really hard to evaluate because, for whatever reason, guys, I feel like every year their defense gets decimated. If they could stay healthy on the back end, I think their A game is really good. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is up there in the Micah Parsons world of just great, you know, a talent that can change the game all by himself. I think Chicago is going to be competitive. I don't know, because of their pass rush, that I put them in the same conversation as Green Bay and Detroit.
I like to hear that. All right, and then last one, Mike. Tausch and I were talking about this article over at ESPN.com this morning. The Packers ranked 30th out of 32 teams in the under-25 talent rankings. Only the Rams and the Broncos, who were both in conference championship games last year, are ranked lower than the Packers on this list. Is that a good thing, a bad thing, or is it just kind of a thing?
Yeah, I think it's a little arbitrary because, again, like, if you look at – it starts with the quarterback, and, if you could take any quarterback in the league right now, how many would you take to start a team now if this was year one before Jordan Love? So, look, could Matt Stafford have a better year than Jordan? Of course he can. But my point is, like, given his age, given his production, given his ability, given his character, I just don't know how many guys I'm taking before I'm taking Jordan Love. And that includes guys like Lamar Jackson, missed four games last year, Patrick Mahomes with the ACL, Joe Burrow, who's had durability issues. So Jordan Love gets a lot of the benefit of the doubt just given his ability and his age.
I'm not sure anyone's been a stronger national advocate for Jordan Love, and I'm not sure anyone's a better dinner party invite than Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider. Mike, thanks so much for the time you're sharing with us, with Tausch and I here today. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, joining us on Wilde and Tausch. Wow.
What is the best compliment you got, Jesse? What has been the best
number one, Becca said, "You don't look that bad in that swimsuit." And I thought that was pretty nice of her when she said that. It was one of the best.
Nice.
And then also when I've heard feedback on some of my like play-by-play from Tomorrow's Cousin Sub of the Day, Matt LePay, Brian Anderson, Jeff Lowe, when they all say, like, "Wow, you're really good. Like, you've got really talented skills." I'm like, Gave me some butterflies the first couple of times I heard that. So that's always nice to hear. So that's what came to mind first. When Mike brought that up. So we'll talk more about what Mike had to say, not just about compliments, but also about Jordan Love and the Packers. He's very high on the Green Bay Packers. I like hearing that. We'll get into that to kick off the 10 o'clock hour coming up. Tausch, first, you want to tell us about Jones Dairy Farm.
I do indeed. It is a family-owned and operated business for 7 generations right in Fort Atkinson all the way back to 1889. And they have great bacon. They have great sausage. I love the fact it's all from the original family recipe. They have been putting clean food together for a long time, not the fillers and the nitrites, the gluten, all of that, all natural, right along with Jones Dairy. Find all of their products in grocery stores across Wisconsin. Check the website's product finder at jonesdairyfarm.com.
10 o'clock hour, Wildy and Tausch kicks off in 2 minutes. Stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.